Let's begin this Wednesday edition of CNV with this comment from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
So no matter what it is, we all have things in our vocation, in our education, in our home life, our family life, where there are these little things. And I've learned that the smaller, the better. Because I can never, ever have a week where my emails have all been answered. I think I'm down from 4,400 that haven't been read to 2,100. So the more you have, the more you have to jump into it.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and shout.
We don't always feel like making an effort to do good to those around us. At the end of the day that's been full of stress, contention, and perpetual disasters, it's easier to ignore the needs of family or friends or even strangers that vie for that little bit of energy we have left. It's easier to turn away from what might be that one last opportunity to bless someone's day. Don't forget that if you do, you just might miss out on that end-of-the-day blessing that makes each day's challenge you faced worthwhile. Let's join Mike now in Acts chapter 16 as he finishes his message, Despise Not the Day of the Little Things, here on Chapter and Verse.
There was this song called Feel the Love, and it was one of my favorite songs by them. And I was literally in a bathroom, on my knees, scrubbing out a bowl. And that music was playing, and I just stopped and started to worship. And I despise the day of little things. That's how I learned this verse. And I despise it by saying, you know, Lord, I shouldn't be in here cleaning toilets. I should be filling stadiums for you, like Billy Graham. I mean, I was a Christian, what, 4 months? And I'm helping the Lord figure out what's best for me. So I said, I was despising it. You know, this is nothing. But he had to get me broken with all my pride down to a place that I would clean out a toilet so he could speak to me. And as I said that in my mind, it was like he came into the bathroom and the room was filled with him and I didn't want to turn around. And he spoke to my heart and he said, if you'll be faithful in cleaning the bathrooms, I'll be faithful to give you people to win to me. And I repented and I asked forgiveness. And then I found that verse. Who would despise the day of little things? I did. Sometimes I do even as an old dude. But now I know that when you're doing something small, it's going to grow. And I had no idea that within 6 months, Sandy and I would be remarried and back together. I had no clue at all. It was almost 3 years that we've been divorced. And little did I know that she really came to the Lord and gave her heart to the Lord. And she was going to every Bible study at Calvary Chapel. Our two children were going to the Sunday school. And I had no idea. But God did. And I had no idea that Love Song would be up on the stage singing Feel the Love when Sandy and I took arms and walked up to Chuck to marry us. He was preparing my heart with the day of little things. He could scrub my heart better than I could scrub a sink. He just had a way of working, but I despised that. So then I learned from that, don't despise anything you're doing if you're doing it as unto the Lord. And then to whom he's given much, he'll give more actually. He expects much from us. So no matter what it is, we all have things in our vocation, in our education, in our home life, our family life, where there are these little things. And I've learned that the smaller, the better. Because I can never, ever have a week where my emails have all been answered. I think I'm down from 4,400 that haven't been read to 2,100. So the more you have, the more you have to jump into it. So hopefully that'll help you. There is nothing little that you're doing in the name of God. Because he knows 6 months from now what he's got planned if we can end up there at the right time. But patience is very important. And Satan would stand at the throne of God calling you a liar and accusing you of all things. So let's go back and wrap this up in the 16th chapter of Acts. The churches, verse 5, they went through the cities and they gave the decrees. And the decrees were flee fornication, stay away from sexual impurity. Yeah, don't eat it, things that have been presented to the idol or don't eat something with its blood in it. That was it. Stay away from sexual immorality. Paul told this young minister, flee fornication and follow after righteousness. So sexual impurity has been an issue with the human race from the beginning. And there is no excuse for us in the modern age to even be involved in it. Because we are Christians, we have no right to touch another person's body until we're married to that person. So very important that we walk as he would have us walk. By his influence, it says in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in number daily. Imagine that, new church plants, Acts 16, verse 6. So they're planting churches like crazy. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and you'll remember the book of Galatians, this is the area that he's coming from, and he saw what was going on there, and he wrote that book. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. See, sometimes the Lord shuts a door, and we keep banging on it, or we try to take the knob off and maybe poke the lock off of it, or bring out our chainsaw and cut through it. No, if he shuts it and it can't be open, let it stay closed. Because there are times that we've all beat down a door and we get in there and our life gets a little messed up for a year or two. No, you don't have to strive with the Lord. The day of little things are as important as the day of big things in his eyes and in his kingdom. So he says that the churches were strengthened, and how important it is for godly men and women in their churches to strengthen the men and women around them. So when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden, actually forbidden by the Holy Spirit, to preach the word in Asia. You see, as they're coming out of the Middle East, they wanted to go a right turn, and they would have been at China. Well, God had them come out of the Middle East and make a left turn and go to Europe. And then from Europe, it went to the Celtic clans, to the Scottish and the Irish and the Welsh, the British. And then it flowed over Iceland and Greenland into Canada and the United States. And then it hovered there for a little while, and then huge awakenings started happening in South America. And some of those churches have well over 25,000 people in Brazil and Sao Paulo and different major cities that are just enormous right now, their Sunday services. So the Holy Spirit is now coming around where the Filipinos and the Japanese are all focused on going to China. So God has made a complete circle around the world where he didn't let them go for whatever reason. So whatever reason you're being held at bay, you just appreciate that God's protecting you from something. You don't need to worry about anything because he'll protect you. He'll feed you. He'll meet your needs. So just realize there is a Holy Spirit, and he's not an it. He's a person. He's part of the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he's not a carnival. Well, let's throw some miracles around here and some shouting in tongues and beating tambourines and run up and down the aisles. No. I've always found him to be a gentleman. And he loves to bring truth to people. And when they had gone through Phrygia in the region of Galatia, the Holy Spirit forbade them from preaching the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A vision. A man of Macedonia. Think Bosnia, Serbia, Croatia, that part of the world. Macedonia. He stood there and he pleaded to me, come over to Macedonia and help us. Wow, that's strong. Come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, there's that word, immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Preach the gospel. They knew what their mission was. It wasn't anything other than preaching the gospel. So therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. And the next day, we came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down, and we spoke to the women who were there. Now, you want to underline this, of course. Now, a certain woman. He had found a certain disciple, and we know that this guy really grew in the Lord. And now we find a certain woman. And you know, in Peter, it says that ladies should be modest in their apparel, and they should have an ornament it's called, of a quiet and a meek spirit, which in the eyes of God is precious. So a woman should say, if this is precious in the Creator's eyes, this is what I want to be like. And the Lord, there's nothing like it to see a godly woman who loves the Lord and can't be swayed. It's like having a bunch of diamonds or gems around her neck. It's just something precious in God's eyes. And so here's this woman, and she is really important. He goes to meet a man, and he never finds the man. He finds a woman. So let's see what happens here. A certain woman named Lydia heard of us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Would you underline purple, Thyatira? Purple is the color of clothes that the rich and powerful and political wore. It was very expensive for the dyes. This lady was a businesswoman. And she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. You see, only God can open people's hearts. The pastor can't. The evangelist can't. The church elders can't. Only God can open your heart. And that's what you need to pray for with some of your friends. They're going the wrong way, but your prayers will be heard in heaven. When I was in Macedonia, I urged you, he said in 1 Timothy 1. You looked at that. He's in Macedonia right here. Isn't that something that proves that this story was related to this Timothy and Paul reminding him of the lessons they learned on the scene? So it's just another thing, showing the proof of the scriptures, which is wonderful. So this certain woman, she was a seller of purple. And when they went to the foremost city, that part of Macedonia, a colony, staying in the city for some days, on the Sabbath, we went to the city of Riverside, where prayer was customarily made. So they ask around, where do people pray around here? Do you pray? And you ask somebody, you're checking into a hotel, hey, we're new here. Do you know where a prayer meeting is? No. A good person to tell about Jesus then. So they knew this is where the prayer meeting is. It's over on the banks of the river. A certain woman named Lydia was there. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. And now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl passed possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. And the girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to her one of these days, apparently, and said to the spirit, "I command you to this demon, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, because the demon wasn't there to prophesy through her anymore, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city." All they did was got a demon out of a young girl. "And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with robes, with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They were singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword out and was about to kill himself. The reason being is he was in charge of that prison, and if a guard were to lose a prisoner, he's going to be killed if the guy was on death row. So he's going to commit suicide. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light. He ran in and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Just the fact they didn't escape told this jailer that these men were different. Paul said with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm." He called for a light. He ran in. He brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he must do. And you will be saved, you and your household." Now, when dad accepts the Lord, doesn't mean the wife and the kids are going to all go to heaven. But Paul was prophesying that this man would go home and he would be a godly man. They would see that he's changed, and they would give their hearts to the Lord Jesus. So we're not saved because our grandmother was saved. We all have to stand before the throne of God and be judged. But yet we can be judged right now today and confess our sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John chapter 4. So here we see that Paul says, hey, don't hurt yourself. Don't commit suicide. Here's a guy that's focused on the Lord all the way, that whoever is in his line of sight is somebody that God wants to touch. And he didn't think about himself running out of the prison at all. He thought about this guy who's got a family. They might have already talked. He says, don't hurt yourself. I know what you're going to do out there. You come in here. He grabs the light. He runs in there, throws himself down in front and says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, well, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you must do. You and your household will be saved. And at that point, he's prophesying. And we'll wind it up with this. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their cuts, the bruises from the whippings. He washed their stripes, and immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officer, saying, let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Paul said to them, well, they've beaten us openly. We're uncondemned Romans, and we have been thrown into prison. Now, do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let him come themselves and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. And then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them, just get out of the city. So they went out of the prison, entered in the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them, and then they simply departed. They encouraged them, and they simply departed. Isn't that something? To have a heart so set apart for God, knowing that there is a devil, and he's so brash, he'll go right up to the throne of God and try to steal your blessings. And yet your Father in heaven turns and rebukes him. And Joshua is standing in filthy clothes. And how many days at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day am I standing before God in filthy clothes? Robes of unrighteousness. Fear and doubt and frustration and anxiety. Anger, bitterness, they well up, and all of a sudden I've soiled this heart that God has given me. And it's wonderful, it says that he said, take these filthy clothes off, and let's put a new garment on. Isn't that something, how he's so patient with us? He knows we're not perfect, but he'll stand up for us even when we're at our worst. We're standing with a filthy robe on in front of God. And Satan, according to Isaiah and Ezekiel, is standing with all these emeralds and jewels, his creature, like a Liberace jacket or something, or an Elton John coat, just sort of radically standing there boasting, just wanting to rip you off. And then you begin to believe the propaganda, yes, Lord. And then your guilt turns into confession. And then confession leads us to ask for forgiveness. And then his mercy endures forever. And he puts a clean robe on us. And we start another day. So don't be too hard on yourselves. Be patient with yourself. And don't despise the day of little things. Because when the big blessings come, he's preparing you to handle them. And as Chuck Smith told me before he died, I said, man, Chuck, I think we're going to make it. I do. I think the Lord's going to bless and make it. And he said, well, I'm very happy about that, Mike. But one thing, I said, yes, sir. There will be bigger mountains to climb. Doggone it. Why couldn't I just get an award for climbing the biggest mountain I've ever done in my life? Because it's probably only about 3 feet high. But to me, I'm struggling with it. Be patient with yourself and be patient with others. And remember, 1 out of every 10 drivers in California is drunk. So protect yourselves. Watch out. And if you pass 9 people and they're sober, you might be the drunk. Check yourself out. Be patient with yourselves. Don't hurt yourselves. Don't beat yourself up. Despise not the day of little things. There is a standard. It's called a plumb line. That standard is what you're living to. Your line dried up with the book that gives you faith that strengthens you.
That's Mike McIntosh bringing to a close this edition of CNV and Chapter 16 from our series in Acts. God really answers prayer. Against all the odds, all reasonable human expectations, we see that our Father in heaven has orchestrated another miracle in our lives. Intellectually, we know it's possible, but our heart and the condemnation of the enemy tells us it won't happen. We're unworthy, unrighteous, and unprepared for God to work in us or through us. But Jesus is worthy. He is righteous, and his saving grace prepares our heart to expect and receive answered prayer. The continued awe over his undeserved blessings keeps our heart open to his love. Join us next time on CNV with Mike McIntosh when we'll see that Paul reasoned with the Scriptures. Well, if you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMcIntosh.com. That's MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Acts, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMcIntosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Tune in again for more from the Book of Acts with our teacher, Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.